Sometimes the best theologians aren't properly trained theologians. You see, one of my all-time favorite theologians was a cartoonist named Charles Schulz, who created the popular Peanuts comic strip and who often in his comic strip subtly taught very spiritual messages. One of those times, he had Lucy and her brother Linus at the base of a big hill. And Lucy said, "Someday I'm going over that hill and find the answer to my dreams. Someday I'm going over that hill and find hope and fulfillment. I think for me, all the answers to life lie beyond these clouds and over the grassy slopes of that hill." Well, Linus, ever the philosopher, pulls his thumb out of his mouth, points toward the hill and responds, "Perhaps there's another little kid on the other side of that hill who was looking this way and thinking that all the answers to life lie on this side of the hill." Well, Lucy looks at Linus and then she looks toward the hill and she yells, "Forget it, kid." Now, I think Schulz was sending a very sly but very true message. That the key to happiness isn't always needing something to change, always needing to be somewhere else, but learning to deal with life just like it is, right where you are. We're about to enter a new year. What attitude will you face it with? Will it be one of anticipation or one of resignation? You see, I believe all people are divided into two distinct major groups. There's only two kinds of people in the world. Not Republicans, Democrats. Not Christians, non-Christians. Not Yankees, Christians. There's only two kinds of people in the world. Trekkies and non-Trekkies. Now, I was once a Trekkie. I didn't watch the original show when it came on when I was a boy. But when I got to college, my roommates got me hooked on Star Trek. And by the time I was a senior, before an episode could get 1 or 2 minutes into the plot, I could tell you what was going to happen. My favorite part of the show was the start. I loved it when Captain Kirk would talk about the mission. And the mission was to go where no one has gone before. No, what was the mission? To boldly go where no one has gone before. I love that because that's how I want to do the mission of my life. Wherever God leads me in 2005, I want to go boldly. I intend for this to be a brave new year. Over the last several months, I have tried to study every passage I can in Scripture that deals with the subject of fear. And one conclusion I've come to is that people who live unafraid are not people that don't have problems or people who don't have frightening circumstances in their life, but they're people who've decided to live by faith. You see, faith is characterized by consistent courage regardless of circumstances. Consistent courage regardless of circumstances. Faithful people are continually bold. Most people, you see, live life reactively. They don't know what kind of people they're going to be in 2005 because they don't know what's going to happen to them yet. Circumstances will determine their attitudes, their priorities, and even their values. But people of faith don't allow what happens on the outside to change who they are on the inside. See, one thing I've noticed over 26 years now of counseling people going through hard circumstances is that it really is the inside that makes the difference. I can be counseling with somebody going through a hard situation who just lives in despair. They're despondent. They're resigned. They're hopeless. They're timid. And an hour later, you can talk to somebody else going through the same or even a harder circumstance. And they are living above what the previous person was living under. What was the difference? The difference was faith. What Karl Barth once called a defiant nevertheless. The biblical term for this kind of spirit is boldness or courage. And it characterized the earliest Christians. Let me show you, just rapid fire, a bunch of scriptures to make that point. In Acts chapter 4, when the church was told not to talk anymore about Jesus, they got together for a prayer meeting. Notice their prayer. Now, Lord, consider the threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Notice, they did not ask for freedom from persecution. They asked for boldness in the midst of persecution. And the Bible says after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. This is what happens when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. One of the fruits will be continual or consistent courage. Another thing that produces courage in a Christian is when you decide that you really believe what you say you believe. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:12, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. In other words, if what we say we believe is true, and if we really believe that it's true, then we will be bold. Two chapters later, he said, we always have courage. Why? Watch. Because we live by what we believe, not only by what we can see. Now, if you live only by what you see, the prospect of you living bravely in 2005 will be greatly diminished, because you'll see a lot of frightening things, I can promise you. But he says, we don't live by what we see. We live by what we believe. And so, he says, we have courage. See, courage doesn't depend on how powerful you are, how intimidating you are, how much money you have, or how much status you have, or how much education you have. You can be puny in all of those arenas and be great in boldness. Look again at Acts 4 with me. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized these were unschooled, ordinary men. In other words, where'd that courage come from? They don't have any reason to be that bold. Oh, it says they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews 3:6, Christ is a faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Let me ask you a question. Last year, how good a job did you do of holding on to your courage? When the days were the hardest, were you still bold? There's a legend in India about a mouse that went to see a magician because the mouse lived in constant fear of cats. So the magician turned the mouse into a cat. And this made him very content until one day in an alley he was chased by a dog. So he went back to the magician and the magician turned him into a dog. And the mouse turned into a cat, turned into a dog, was quite content until one day in the field he spotted a tiger. So he went back to the magician, who then changed him into a tiger. And everything was fine until one day in the jungle he spotted a hunter. So he came back to the magician to complain. But this time the magician said, I will not do anything more for you. Instead, I will turn you back into a mouse. Because, he said, even though you have the body of a tiger, you still have the heart of a mouse. You see, when you became a Christian, when you were baptized into Jesus Christ, when you were filled with the Holy Spirit, when God changed your identity, you were to get a new heart. Some of us got the new identity, but our courage and our boldness still resembles the old person. The Bible says you must hold on to your courage and your hope. Let me show you a guy who did. If anybody lived by consistent courage, it was the Apostle Paul. And he did this in spite of the fact that he had many reasons to be discouraged. We're going to read in a moment a text from the book of Philippians that he wrote from a prison cell in Rome, where he was unjustly kept, where he was constantly being unfairly criticized, where he was completely unaware of what his future held, whether he would be released or even executed. He had many reasons to be discouraged. But instead, I want you to see what he wrote to the brethren in Philippi, starting in verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that as what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition. Not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed. Watch, but we'll have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's a great text. But I think my favorite expression in the whole text is maybe one of the least noticed. It's at the very start of verse 18, five little words in English. But what does it matter? And it's just two little words in Greek, five letters. Tigar. And you might translate tigar by the expression, so what? And that's the attitude of people that anticipate a brave new year. Of people who have a mindset to live by faith instead of by fear. See, let me summarize Paul's faith for you quickly. What does so what faith look like? Well, it begins with a very brave conclusion that some of us still haven't accepted. And it is simply that life is hard. He says at the start, let me tell you what has happened to me. See, here's the thing. Most people allow their happiness to be determined by happenings. Both words come from the same little English word hap, which means chance. Most people live on the chance that good things will happen so that they can be happy, but with the greater chance that some things will happen that won't be pleasant, and so it will be hard to be happy. But faith understands that happenings happen to everybody, and they don't all happen to be good. Because life is hard. The roast is going to burn. The car will break down. The preacher on occasion will preach a lousy sermon. And on a more serious note, there's somebody in this room right now who's going to lose their job this year. Not because you did a bad job, but because the company downsized and you'll be out of work. Somebody in this room this year will lose a mate, either to death or to divorce. Not because you didn't work hard at your marriage, but because somebody else decided not to keep a promise. Somebody in this room this year will get the word from the doctor, it doesn't look good. There's nothing more we can do. And when these things happen, oftentimes we act surprised that life is so hard. Listen, hard is normal. People expecting paradise in this world have not been reading this book close enough. If courage requires an absence of difficulties, if we're not going to live bravely or boldly unless life is easy, then we're going to be in for a very discouraged year. None of us are going to live boldly if life must be easy. But we can be brave even when life is hard because of faith's most basic conviction, and that is Jesus is Lord. See, Paul doesn't see himself as a man in prison. Paul sees himself as a man in Christ, and that changes everything. He says in verse 13, I'm in chains for Christ. He says in verse 18, I've been helped by the Spirit of Christ. In verse 20, he says, Christ will be exalted in my body, one way or the other. Verse 21, he says, for me to live is Christ. And that's why he could say, so what? With regard to his unfair imprisonment, his unkind critics, his uncertain future. Tigar, so what? But Paul, it's not fair that you're in prison. You didn't do anything wrong. So what? Jesus is Lord. So every day they bring a guard from Caesar's palace and chain him to me for 8 hours, and I preach the gospel to him. I have now preached the gospel to every single guard in Caesar's palace because Jesus is Lord. Yeah, but Paul, there's some people out there on the street, and they're saying some really ugly things about you when they go preaching Christ. So what? Tigar, Jesus is Lord. I don't care what people think about me. I care what people think about Jesus. As long as he's being preached, Tigar, so what? Yeah, but Paul, we don't know whether to plan on you coming by to visit us next year or not, because we don't know if they're going to let you out of prison. We don't even know if they're going to execute you. So what? Jesus is Lord. If they let me out of prison, I'll come, I'll preach the gospel to you. If they decide to execute me, I'll go to heaven, I'll go be with Jesus. So you talk about the ultimate win-win. Tigar, Jesus is Lord. You see, Paul doesn't focus on the crisis. He focuses on Christ. He does not expect a life without hardships. He affirms that Jesus is Lord and Jesus can direct any situation toward his purposes. And so there is no circumstance in his life, there is no circumstance in your life that cannot become a display for the glory of Lord Jesus. The roast is going to burn. So what? Go get you a new one. And the car is going to break down. So what? Go get another one. And the preacher's going to preach a bad sermon now and then. So what? Send him to Hawaii for a study break. He will come back so refreshed, he'll be better than ever. And if you lose your job, Jesus is still Lord. And he said, you seek my kingdom first, I will promise you all your needs will be met. And if you lose your mate, Jesus is still Lord. And He has promised He will never leave you or forsake you. And He'll prompt His spiritual family to come love on you and help you through. And if the doctors say we're sorry, there's nothing more we can do, Jesus is still Lord. And so that means either He's going to bring glory to Himself by healing you, or He's going to bring glory to Himself by taking you to heaven. But either way, Jesus is Lord. And so, the Bible can say in Hebrews 13:6, let us be bold then and say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? See, Jesus is Lord. Life is hard, but Jesus is Lord. And so what does that mean? That means as we enter a new year and a new day, that means that we will confess, I will rejoice. That's what He says. He says, because of this, I will rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. If I have to do it in a prison cell, that's where I'll do it. But I will continue to rejoice. Paul met every day with eager anticipation and with courage. He's got a faith that cannot be chained. They could put him in a cell, but they could not put this man in a prison of fear or timidity. And I am begging you to spend no time there. We do, you know. We wasted way too many days last year. Way too many days. Feeling sorry for ourselves, complaining, wanting things to get easy, instead of wondering and affirming that Jesus is Lord. How can I bring Him glory today? The well-known minister Leonard Sweet shared a story from a woman named Ann Wells who came to him. And I want to read the story that she gave to him. She said, my brother-in-law opened the bottom drawer of my sister's bureau and lifted out a tissue-wrapped package. This, he said, is not a slip. This is lingerie. He discarded the tissue and handed me the slip. It was exquisite. Silk, handmade, trimmed with cobweb of lace. The price tag with an astronomical figure on it was still attached. And he said, Jan bought this the first time we went to New York, at least 8 or 9 years ago. She never wore it. She was saving it for a special occasion. Well, I guess this is the occasion. He took the slip from me and put it on the bed with the other clothes we were taking to the mortician. His hands lingered on the soft material for a moment, and then he slammed the drawer shut and turned to me and said, don't ever save anything for a special occasion. Every day you're alive is a special occasion. Every day that you get to get out of bed in 2005 and suck air into your lungs is a day to live brave. It's a day to anticipate, no matter how or what may happen, that Christ can be exalted. And if it's a particularly hard day, so what? Jesus is Lord. And it can be a brave new year. Listen to the words of Christ Himself from John 16:13. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. You know why? Because life is hard. But Jesus said, take heart. Rejoice. Why? Because Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Jesus is Lord. God is in control. Boy, that amps up my faith. That motivates me. Gives me energy. You see, faith is energized by a mission that cannot be chained. I need a mission for the new year. You do too. I need a goal. And I think one reason fear abounds, and if you look back last year at the times when you were most afraid, I think you'll find this true. One reason fear abounds is because we give first class allegiance to second class causes. You need a mission for this new year that cannot be threatened if you want to live with consistent courage. So I want you to look at the bottom of your outline, because there's a blank there. And I want you literally or figuratively or mentally to put something in that blank. For me to live is. Because whatever you put in that blank determines whether you will live fearfully or courageously this year. Is there something in that blank that could be threatened? For me to live is money. For me to live is job. For me to live is health. For me to live is family. For me to live is school. Have you put something in that blank that might not even be here next year? You need a goal that can't be threatened. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Nothing can happen to chain my mission. See, understand something, folks. Christ is going to be exalted whether you make it your mission to do so or not. But there is no chain that can keep Him from being exalted in you this year. Let me say that again. Nothing can happen this year that can keep you from exalting Christ if that's what you decide to live for. Nothing. And so what do you have to fear? You've heard me a time or two mention a man named Irwin McManus who planted a church called Mosaic in a pretty rough part of Los Angeles. He wasn't raised in a Christian home, didn't come to faith until he was a young man. And he's sold out to Christ and wants his kids to be. So he sent his son on an experience that he never had growing up. He sent him for a week of camp, Christian camp, one summer. And when his son, who was 8 years old, came home that night when he went to bed, he was afraid. He'd never been afraid before to go to bed or to sleep in the dark, but he was that night. And so Irwin asked his son why he was afraid. And his son said, because of the stories they told at camp. And Irwin was thinking, yeah, they probably told a bunch of ghost stories. I'll go tell him those are not true. So he said, son, what stories? He says, Daddy, stories about the demons. They told us about demons. Now, what is Irwin supposed to do? Say that's not true? Say, no, son, demons don't really exist. There's no real prince of darkness called the devil who wants our lives to be hellish. There's no real enemy in the prince of the air. Why, there's no demons watching us right now. No, you can't say that. Wouldn't be true. His son said, Daddy, pray that I will be safe. Well, he couldn't do that either. Because Irwin doesn't believe the call of the gospel is to be safe. It's to be faithful. And so he said, son, I will not pray that you be safe. But I will pray that you'll be dangerous. So dangerous that when you come into the room, the demons will be scared. And he said his boy's eyes got real big and he said, oh, Daddy. Then pray that I will be very, very dangerous. See, that's what I want to be. Don't care too much about being safe. Don't expect life to be easy. But I do want to be dangerous. Wherever God leads me this year, I want to go boldly. I intend to have a brave new year. You can too. Let's bow our heads. Father, we've spent way too much time praying and asking you to make our lives easy. Today we pray instead that you make us more courageous, more bold, more fearless, even more dangerous for the cause of Jesus Christ. Whether we live or die, may it all be about Him. And we pray in His name. Amen. Elders and ministers are going to be in room 109 to pray with you today if you have a special need. I will be down front to receive anyone who is ready to make the brave and bold confession that Jesus is Lord and want to be baptized into His name. You can come while we stand up right now and we sing.
All I once held dear, built my life upon. All this world me fears and wars.
Have a seat, please. Would you please pass your attendance cards through the aisles? Our guests can turn in the purple card now or take it to the Welcome Center and we'll give you a packet that tells you more about our church. We'll give you a Bible to take home. We're delighted to see two young people want you to hear them say that Jesus is Lord. Wesley Holmes is going to make her confession with her parents. And then Damien McVeigh will make it before his grandfather. And we'll all get to be witnesses. Tell you what, while we wait, let's sing the song that we sang during communion. Because two chapters later, Paul, who said to live as Christ, said, I want to know Christ. That is my mission for life. Let's sing that while we wait.
I want to know Christ and the power of His rising. Share in His suffering, conform to His death. When I pour out my life to be filled with His Spirit, joy follows suffering and life follows death. I want to know Christ and the power of His rising. Share in His suffering, conform to His death. When I pour out my life to be filled with His Spirit, joy follows suffering and life follows death.
This is Damien McVeigh. Damien is our grandson. Damien, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
And are you ready for Him to be the Lord of your life?
Yes.
Based on that confession of faith, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins.
We love you with the love of the Lord. We love you with the love of the Lord. We see in you the glory of our King, and we love you with the love of the Lord.
Grandmother and Granddaddy, and Meemaw and Pawpaw, y'all have read the proverb that says, your children's children are a crown to the aged. And I know aged doesn't apply to you, but crown certainly applies to this girl, doesn't it?
Amen.
Wesley, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to take you down and bury you in this watery baptism, and when you come up, you're going to have a new identity. And every time in your Christian walk, when you have the choice to choose between bold and timid, my prayer to you is that you are going to pick bold. And now I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
We love you with the love of the Lord. We love you with the love of the Lord. We see in you the glory of our King, and we love you with the love of the Lord.
Thank you for accommodating the changes in our schedule during the holidays, but that is now complete. Starting this Wednesday, we will go back to our regular summit at 7 o'clock. And then next Sunday, we'll go back to our schedule of three services, 8, 9, 30, 11, and Bible classes concurrently. Speaking of the summit, we noticed this past year, more people were baptized here than any year in the history of this church, that many people came to Christ first invited to a special event, Randy Travis concert, Friends Day, Christmas program. In the first service, we baptized a young woman who came because of the Song of Solomon conference in November with Tommy Nelson. We want to continue to give you opportunities to invite people to come to events that will introduce them to the gospel. And one of those is coming up a week from Wednesday, because on the next, the second and third Wednesday, 12th and 19th, we're going to show The Bema. It's a powerful Christian drama that will make anybody who watches it ask the question, am I ready to give an account of my life to God? So bring a friend. It will be a blessing to them. And again, if you would like to continue to help with aid work in Asia, send your check to the church office this week, made out to Bread for a Hungry World. And the group will leave on the 10th, which is a week from Monday. We'll send as many as we can based on money raised. I'd like you to stand now. We're going to close our service and begin our new year by singing one of the most beautiful blessings in all of the Bible from the book of Numbers. And we'll just be dismissed after we sing, "The Lord Bless You and Keep You."
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. And give you peace. And give you peace. And give you peace. The Lord make His face to shine upon you.
You are dismissed.